Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Matt Peterson joins us from Newfounding to talk about how we crush woke companies. And then Raheem Kassam talks about Teton County and how that is instructive for the rest of America. And we talk about luxury beliefs as well. What is a luxury belief? Very important topic. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA. Start a high school group. Start a college group today. It'll be fulfilling and wonderful. tpusa.com. I think you'll really enjoy it. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. We've got to counter woke corporations and woke capital, and there is finally a concerted effort to do that. Friend of the program, Matt Peterson, joins us right now. He is behind American Firebrand PAC and also general partner of Newfounding. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Always good to be here.
Matt, I enjoyed the article in Breitbart where you talked about how we need a new venture organization to revitalize America and counter woke corporations. Walk us through what you are doing to empower everyday people to smash these companies.
Yes, we are sick and tired, as I'm sure all your listeners are, of what's going on in American commerce and culture. And we know that what's needed is not just attacking the wokeness, but establishing a positive vision of a pro-American, pro-human way of life that businesses can rally around. You can't defeat, as you well know, a negative with a positive. You have to come out with a positive vision, because everyone's complaining. You know, I don't want wokeness. And the old way of thinking about this is to say, so I just want businesses to go back to neutral, to not talk about politics. What we realize is that that's not going to work. What's needed is to say there's a positive vision of how we want to live, of what's attractive to us. It's pro-family, that's pro-tech, but pro-human first, where we're not enslaved by technology.
And pro-goodness and pro-beauty and pro-truth.
Yes, yes. This is what people want. This is what they're attracted to. This is what advertising used to do, right? I mean, the problem with advertising is it can change your desires. You end up wanting things you didn't even know you wanted. Well, now they're showing you things that are ugly, that you don't want. So how do we promote this movement? How do we promote a positive vision? That is why Nate Fisher and I created Newfounding, to create what we need in media, in technology, and in finance to move us forward. And we want to find the founders who are not going to break to the demands of woke capital. Right now at Newfounding, we're inviting people to join us, and we're building. You can start to see some of this now. We're building out the infrastructure that will be needed in the future. Let me give you one example. Align is a newsletter right now. It will grow into a site with lifestyle content, lists of businesses. There's already there now that serve as alternatives to the big woke corporations. There's very few big corporations that are on our side, but there's lots of smaller companies that make real stuff. This isn't just, you know, rally around the flag type material. We're talking about camping supplies and anything else you can think of that right now don't do any of this woke stuff. So we need to support them. It's not boycotting quite, but it's moving millions of dollars into all these businesses that are made in America, are proud to be here, and getting people to rethink how they buy, and then getting the businesses to rethink how they sell. Because a lot of these small to medium sized businesses know that half the country plus wants to buy from them. So Align right now is a newsletter you can sign up for free if you go to newfounding.com. And what Align does is just give you practical alternatives. But we're going to move beyond that into lifestyle, into profiles, into, you know, how do I move from a blue state to a red state? Where do I move and why? What are the alternatives in education for my kids? We need a media ecosystem that's laying out these practical alternatives, and we need it now.
I mean, I totally agree. Now, let me ask you, Matt, are you starting to see more entrepreneurs start to lean in on this to go away from the woke direction? I mean, a day doesn't go by, freedom@charliekirk.com, where we get one of our wonderful listeners that send us something, and it's another one of these nauseating companies. I mean, for example, one of the applications that I use when I work out is called Train Heroic. And I get, again, it literally is to just log how much weight you're doing and just to keep you on. I get this email all about, we at Train Heroic stand with the trans community. I'm like, oh, just shut up. Like, can you just, you're a fitness app, okay? I don't need to hear about this. Is there a change happening here, Matt?
Yeah, there is a change. The problem is that no one is highlighting it as a movement, right? Because mainstream media does not want you to see that there are a number of younger founders and CEOs who want to avoid this stuff. And so in a way, we need our own ESG or our own version of social justice as a movement where, you know, these are radically pro-family, pro-American businesses. And that's why, you know, that's why new founding. That's why we need to create a commercial and cultural union for the American people, where we go out and find these people and present them to you and present you with deals and everything else and start to foster this movement that will involve lots of people. I will tell you, the silver lining is I do talk to people every day who are either trying to get out of these big companies and start something new, or who already have started something new. And what we want to do is highlight that for regular people in a way that's active, that you can actually go out and support or just look around and see in one place, you know, all these people who are trying to move in a different direction.
It's also about raising the consciousness, in my opinion, too. So, for example, for small business owners out there, we have a lot of small business owners that watch this program. And it makes sense, right? I mean, they can, you know, they're doing work and they're responsible. And so they're more in the conservative message. And they're, while they're doing work, they're listening to us. They have to also be careful who they hire. Can you talk about how the personnel sometimes drives the radicalism within these companies? About how employers need to be very careful about who they bring into their companies. They're properly vetting them to make sure that their values are aligned.
Yeah, it may be unfortunate, but you cannot avoid this because the legal system is set up to allow for the woke mind virus, as the richest man in the world calls it, to take over your business. So what happens in the larger corporations, like say, take Disney, is there may be like the CEO probably that doesn't have a spine, but you know, there's maybe people there who he's not really for this, but they've hired so many creatives who are, there's nothing they can do. And so if you're a small business, you absolutely need to go out there and make sure you're hiring aligned people. There's a great company that we work with called Red Balloon.
Talk about them. They're phenomenal. I get emails from them.
Oh yeah. Andrew Kapruschitz, who started that, is a wonderful entrepreneur. And he just went out there during the virus and said, look, go to Red Balloon and you can find work from people who won't force you to get the vax. And that began the process. So we work with them and others where, you know, ultimately what we need is a digital network that's open source, but has governance where curation and credentialing are coming from people who are aligned in terms of values. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it totally
does. That's what's needed.
Yeah, but it's comprehensive, right? And that's why I talk about the raising of the consciousness, meaning that it can't just be like, oh, you know, why are we not boycotting these companies or supporting those? It has to be a top to bottom total philosophy change of are you doing your part? And this is something we're trying to do at Turning Point just a little bit. We have our Turning Point alumni network, and we've placed some people into jobs now. Employers are saying, thank you. They keep their head down. They do their job. They're not talking about why they need a Pride Month off or whatever the new thing is, right? And it's actually improves productivity. Matt, I want to keep you for one more segment here. I have a theory that the recession actually might deal a very significant death blow to some of this woke posturing, because when there are cuts that need to be made and profits start to diminish and cheap money starts to dry up, I don't know if the patience in the accounting department for $100 million to some sort of chemical castration program for children of some Sioux tribe in Western Oklahoma is going to be something that, you know, Goldman Sachs wants to spend money on. Maybe I'm wrong. I want to ask you about how economic pressures might actually help us here right now to deal a death blow to these maniacs. New Founding, what are the website really quick? Matt, one of my theories about woke corporations is that in the year of 2020, you had some simultaneous, let's say, influxes of really bad ideas, hatred of Donald Trump, lockdowns, a yearning for meaning, but also cheap money. Yeah. And one of the theories that I've been putting forward is that when you have artificially high profits and you have tech companies in particular that just exploded during our reaction to the pandemic, that you have a lot of money floating around to subsidize bloated HR departments. However, when the economy starts to crater a little bit and budgets need to be cut and HR departments need to be kind of scaled back, the wokies are going to be maybe laid off and not treated as nicely and kindly. Am I misguided there? Do you think there might be finally some gravitational pull against wokeism?
Yes and no. I mean, I think there is some evidence that this has been going on, but it radically depends on the kind of corporation you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. I mean, I think there's a lot of big corporations like, say, Verizon, I think it's a good example. It's hopelessly woke. It's sort of like it's just being cannibalized, you know, over time. I don't think they care in a way. And something like Disney, for instance, as well, they've lost, yeah, a lot, but I see them as on a suicidal course that they're not going to recover from. They're not going to fire all their woke creatives. On the other hand, there's other businesses that this gives the people, if there's enough people who realize the problem, this gives them ammo to help to scale and trim back. Unfortunately, I don't think it's enough to reverse the cultural revolution, although it can be useful to people in those businesses who are engaged in the fight. And look, that's why I go back to a commercial and cultural union for the American people, where we connect people who are being atomized. We curate and bring together people who are doing all this interesting stuff to move in a different direction in practical ways. And then we advocate for people and harness the economic clout of half of America to move things forward. So I think, you know, you're partially right. It's helping. But ultimately, we are going to have to promote an alternative
yes.
positive
vision. No, I totally agree with that. I just think it adds an element that makes our success more likely. That it's that if we're pushing forward with competitors and we're pressing yeah. against these companies, and they're also seeing their profits go down just because of natural economic
yes.
curves, that it creates the conditions that we might be able to be successful. So, mm-hmm. so Matt, I want to shift gears to politics here. What are you seeing in the primaries? You know, you and I were supporters of Blake Masters and J.D. Vance. They both won. And it feels good all of a sudden to have some good, young, energetic, new right candidates. Are you optimistic there might be some actual changes here happening in the Republican Party?
I am. I'm very optimistic. Not that everything's going to change overnight, but that everything you just said is true. And we will find more leaders rising up unlooked for, because voters are so fed up with the establishment Republican Party. So, you know, I think what's going to be interesting about the red wave is, first off, we have to make sure that the establishment leaders know that we know the red wave is really about these new leaders who are boldly standing up and taking the party forward, taking the fight to the left, and are serious
yes.
about what they're working.
That
it's
is
not
the
just
word,
order.
Serious. That's right. Playtime's over.
That's number one. Number two is, you know, after this wave, I guarantee you, we will find new stars. I mean,
yeah.
a lot of these people, we don't even know who they are, right? I mean,
that's exactly
some of them are
right.
going to
right.
enter Congress and all of a sudden look around and stand up, and all the pressure from voters is in that direction, which is a good thing. So I would say, you know, keep working, keep voting, keep advocating, but be patient, and we're going to see a new class of leadership rise. And you know, your show, everything you do is helping that. I just think it is the future. So people should not lose heart.
Well, I totally agree. Well, I just have to say that, you know, we're looking at a set of circumstances right now where the better candidates are starting to win primaries all across the country. I'm a little worried about Republican establishment abandoning them. It's a big concern right now. So the voters are going to have to rise up in big numbers. All right, Matt, thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too, discounted, only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. With us right now is a great American patriot, very smart, love following his commentary. I think it's his first time on the program. Raheem joins us. Raheem Kassam. Raheem, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. So you want to talk about this Liz Cheney story in the New York Times, and it's In the Ways That Count, Liz Cheney won. Your thoughts on this?
I have a lot of thoughts on this, Charlie. So originally I thought to myself, want us talking about Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney wants us talking about Liz Cheney. So my instinct in that is to say, no, actually, I don't really want to talk about Liz Cheney. But then I was sitting around last night and going to spin this one. So I started to look at the returns in from Wyoming themselves, look at the commentary around her. And of course, we've got this amazing, I mean, we've had in months and months and months, article in the New York Times today by Frank Bruni, which said Liz Cheney won. In the way that counts, Liz Cheney won. Well, let me tell you, consoling themselves right now, having lost all of their impeachment managers, having lost all of the people, all, every single one almost of them are gone out of Congress already. And they're consoling themselves that they accused us of, our side of, back in 2020. But there were two won in Wyoming, and by two ways, I mean two counties. Now, there was one county, Albany County, with an oddball in Wyoming. But the more interesting story is what I think of the entire battle going on in America right now. And that's Teton County, Wyoming. County in America is the only county that Liz Cheney carried with any reasonable margin that she can say, I absolutely won that one. The average income is $300,000. Just internalized, was able to carry a county that has an average income rate of average America. It's known as the billionaire's background. It's known as the billionaire's words when I was reading up about this. And also, I think it's really interesting as a microcosm there, because Teton County and the wealthy people that live there used to vote Republican until about 2000. And isn't that just when everything started to change? That is when you started to see of the political left by the oligarch class. And it's like Donald Trump speaking out against things like what was happening then, the Iraq invasion, the Afghan. We soon had a massive recession following after that. And I think, you know, we always have this state goes, so goes America. The way this place goes, so goes America. These bellwether counties and states do think that in this case, it is a perfect, perfect analogy for America. The elites, the classes, the billionaires, the oligarchs, they will all vote for people. News is there ain't a lot of them.
There's not a lot of them. Aspen, Colorado in Pitkin County is very similar as well, where if you go to Aspen, the homes are going for 4,000, sometimes 4,500 square feet per square foot. I mean, you go to, I was just actually doing, while you were chatting, I pulled up Zillow. At Teton County, there are homes that are listed for nearly $3,200 a square foot. Just give me an idea. That's more than New York City in its heyday. And what's interesting, though, you know, Teton County is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. It's right near Teton National Park. and then you can go up to Yellowstone National Park. And it is kind of this sandbox for the American ruling class. No income tax, you know, very beautiful, very nice. But it's interesting because they might have a lot of money. They might be able to raise a lot of money, but they don't have a lot in numbers. So build that out. You extrapolate that to the rest of the country. Is there a broader referendum happening against the American ruling class?
Is going on right now. I mean, I watch with scratching my head these where you have New Jersey politicians now complaining that Donald Trump allowed the golf tournament in at Bedminster. And I think to myself, these are the same people who were arguing that there should be a mosque at Ground Zero. You know, these people are wildly out of touch with common sentiment. Remember, obviously, at the time, people were talking about theorists. Remember, 9/11 was planned in a cave in Tora Bora in Afghanistan. It wasn't done by the Saudis. Bear, the former CIA agent, had entire swathe of his book, See No Evil, able to release it about all of that stuff. But now we're being asked by these same people, this oligarch ruling class. No, it was the Saudis. Well, why was it the Saudis all of a sudden? Because Donald Trump is hosting them at Bedminster. That's why. And I saw you tweeted the Sam Harris thing out yes. earlier on, where he talks about how, you know, had children locked in his basement. He said because Trump University was worse. These what little minds they ever had. And that is a good thing. That is good news because there is obviously to be occupied. There is a financial vacuum, quite frankly. People are dying to buy patriotic, you know, company-run goods. And there is this vacuum of intelligence out there right now. With you, because I think this is the kind of show that is filling the intelligence vacuum out there.
Yeah, well, thank you. We appreciate that. And yeah, I'm going to play the Sam Harris clip again. I think it's so instructive. And Raheem, afterwards, can you just explain to our audience that might not be familiar with Sam Harris? I call him the high priest of smug atheism. He is well respected of kind of these atheist, godless, left-wing influencers. A lot of our audience is not familiar with him. That's okay. I don't want them to be familiar with Sam Harris, but he influences a lot of people. And he's kind of the top of how people view their metaphysical reality. I want to play this piece of tape here. Cut 78, the high priest of smug atheism, Sam Harris, the most influential atheist under 50, talking about Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared. Play cut 78.
I mean, Hunter Biden, at that point, Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared. Ever scope of Joe Biden's corruption is like if we could just go down that rabbit hole endlessly and understand that he's getting kickbacks from Hunter Biden's deals in Ukraine or wherever else, right? Or China. It is infinitesimal compared to the corruption we know Trump is involved in, right? Trump University as a story is worse than anything that could be in Hunter Biden's laptop.
Now, it's not just what he said that's outrageous, but Raheem, can you just tell our audience, who is Sam Harris? This guy actually matters in the broader culture war. Your thoughts, Raheem?
Sam Harris does seem to still matter to a lot of people. He's sort of like evidence of public intellectual atheist types, and you come to this kind of chubby, annoying man. And that's Sam Harris, right? He's a good friend of Ricky Gervais, whose comedy, I think, his anti-woke comedy especially, do a little bit more of and appreciate more of in our lives, right? But Ricky Gervais isn't this smug. He's not smug about his intellect. And when people like Sam Harris absolutely are, they're to sneer at you. They live to tell you how stupid you are. But the best thing about Sam clip and this longer form interview is at one point he talks about how it's a conspiracy to keep a man being from elected president in 2020. And then the interviewer goes back to him and says, well, hold on a minute. We should be happy that there is a consistently elected president being reelected. And Sam Harris goes, well, I don't think it's necessarily a conspiracy. Like, they didn't say that word. You entered that word. And this is the thing. People like Harris get so, like, they never sit in rooms with people who believe anything different to them. They never sit on stages opposite people who do. And like others on the right, are always thrust into those situations, right? Where we are constantly chanced. Sam Harris never has had to do that in his life. And so he ends up circumlocuting himself and somehow losing. And it is just a wonderful, magnificent thing that I think we're going to learn about today is the other smug Brian Stelter. Potentially, I think we're hearing that he may be leaving CNN. Good news all around today.
Yeah, what a loss for the journalistic profession. 1 minute, Raheem, just riff a little bit on the eunuch who is now out at CNN. Your thoughts?
Last year over at the National Pulse, we published an entire article going through Jeff Zucker's hype. CNN, funnily enough, once upon a time, before a lot of people's living memories, was actually, I mean, we're talking 20-odd years ago, right? They sent reporters into the field. They were still had liberal bias, all Trump derangement syndrome. And then Zucker comes along and he starts hiring these people, Chris Cuomo's bosses, all of these types who have no journalistic credentials. Zero. They don't know how to do the news. They have no interest in doing the news. They are state-level propagandists. And now on an AT&T merger, the new incoming management of CNN are going, well, hold on a minute. We have no one. Believe us. We are losing people in the swathes. And so they are losing these anchors now in their sway for journalism.
Raheem Kassam from the National Pulse, thank you so much for joining us. Great work as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie. Anytime. You too.
So what is a luxury belief? A luxury belief is something that the ruling class collects. Now, I did not come up with the term luxury belief. It was written in a New York Post article by Rob Henderson. And he wrote this phenomenal piece a couple years ago, 3 years ago almost. And he writes, quote, "A former classmate of mine from Yale recently told me that monogamy is kind of outdated, the idea of having one partner, and not good for society. So I asked her what her background is and if she planned to marry. She said she comes from an affluent family and works at a well-known technology company. Yes, she personally intends to have monogamous marriage, but quickly added that marriage shouldn't have to be for everyone. She was raised by a traditional family. She plans on having a traditional family, but she maintained that traditional families are old-fashioned and societies should evolve beyond them." You see, Rob Henderson argues in this piece that upper-class Americans use to display their social status with luxury goods, such as a Hermes scarf or, you know, Gucci or Dolce & Gabbana or, you know, designer shoes. Now they do so by, they show their wealth off by their luxury belief. Rob Henderson writes, "People care a lot about social status. In fact, research indicates that respect and admiration for our peers are even more important than money of our sense of well-being." So this is what has happened in the upper middle class, not just upper middle class, but the wealthy, wealthy pocket enclaves across America. It's happened in Aspen. It's happened in Teton County. It's happened in Seattle, Tacoma, Washington, in Silicon Valley, outside of Washington, D.C., in Martha's Vineyard, in Kennebunkport, Maine. I could go on. There are about 8 or 10 of these enclaves of hyper wealthy people. Now, there's nothing wrong with being hyper wealthy if you've earned it. And if, I mean, obviously, if you inherit it, that's fine too. But the point is, I'm not trying to make a moral judgment about creating wealth. I think it could be a great thing. It's what you do with it that really matters, and also how you got it, which is important. Meaning, did you lie, steal, and cheat to get it? Or are you doing something that is, you know, courageous and something that is virtuous with it? No, the more important question is, if you have all of these resources and this money, and then instead of buying another house or buying a yacht or buying a boat, you wear these luxury beliefs as if it's some sort of a social status competition. So for example, in Aspen, Colorado, if there's a cocktail party, it is almost a one-upsmanship of where they used to say, yes, you know, I have a Gulfstream 650. Oh, really? I have the Challenger and I have a Falcon. And, you know, I have all, they're kind of talking, I have a Global Express. They're all talking about how big their planes are. Now they go to a cocktail party and they say, you know, I gave $5 million to BLM. Oh, really? Well, I just gave $7 million to, you know, the ACLU, where I gave $8 million to Planned Parenthood. And then they'll start talking and they'll say, oh, yes, you know, borders are so antiquated. Hey, make sure you close the gate before you get onto my property. They don't believe their own ideas. Or they're whining and dining in Pitkin County or Kennebunkport, Maine about the ill effects of climate change. And they say, oh, yeah, let's go to Paris on our Gulf Stream. They don't believe their own stuff. But it gives them a sense of currency. They trade on these luxury beliefs, no matter how contradictory they are to their own life. And I've said this for many years. This is one of my main arguments that I made on college campuses, is that conservatives are perfectly consistent with our private and public beliefs. For example, I believe in borders. I have nothing against people living in gated communities. I believe in school choice. I support homeschooling and sending kids to private schools. I support firearm ownership. I'm okay having armed guards at our events. But the left has a tension where you can call it hypocrisy. That is not the proper analysis. It is not hypocrisy. It is hierarchy. It's not about them saying one thing and doing another. They think they're better than you. Rules need not apply to us, the ruling class. Luxury beliefs are very dangerous. They're dangerous because the people that are pushing them forward on an otherwise naive population, they would never have that happen to their own family, their own society. The monogamy one is great, which is, yeah, do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. But us and our waspy, white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, khaki-wearing enclave, we believe in traditional marriage around here. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I think it's one of the reasons why we're going to win. There's too much contradiction. There's too much hierarchical hypocrisy that happens at the top levels of American society. It's not sustainable for them. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.